Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. And so you are free to call in at 7 p.m. and give your thoughts or comments on what the writer is saying. Amen? In our lesson. Our call-in number is 319-527-6204. And you can call in your prayer requests also on that same number. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come play. Your glory, God.
earth today. Would he have dreads? Would they be gray? And I wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what hand to help his fellow man. Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray, to simply tell the Father thank you? And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be uptight or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. What will Jesus do? Listen. 'Cause you're the only Jesus some would ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. What will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. You want to know what he looks like. He looks like you.
Opportunity to walk with your son. And thank you for the opportunity to grow closer to you each day. I thank you for the person I am and for the person I can become. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. So feel free to dial in at 7 p.m. and join us in our Bible study. Praise be to God. At this time, I would play another selection. I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music this evening.
Belongs to you.
Amen. Praise God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Rejoice and Be Thankful. Praise God. My scripture reading for this message is coming from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and it says, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. My second scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 95, verses 1 and 2. And it says, Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. Amen. My third scripture reading is coming from Psalms 9 and 10, and it says, Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Amen. And my fourth scripture reading is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 in the New King James Version, and it says, Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. For again, the title, Rejoice and Be Thankful. As you walk with me through this day, practice trusting and thanking me all along the way. Trust is the channel through which my peace flows into you. Thankfulness lifts you up above your circumstances. I do my greatest work through people with grateful, trusting hearts rather than planning and evaluating. Practice trusting and thanking me continually. This is a paradigm shift that will revolutionize your life. To God be the glory for the reading of the word. Amen. Praise be to God. Dear Lord, when the quickening pace of life leads me with little time for worship or for praise, help me to reorder my priorities. When the demands of the day leave me distracted and discouraged, let me turn to Jesus for the peace that only he can give. And then, when I have accepted the spiritual abundance that is mine through Christ, let me share his message and his love with all who cross my path. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So if you would like to join us, you can dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say,
my God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and lift your voice.
Awesome.
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 My God.
My God is awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it, say it.
Awesome.
Come on and say it. Think about it, Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify, you know he's awesome, say it.
Awesome.
celebrate the awesome God. Oh, oh, he's awesome.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Bread
sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A
whole
king, a
carpenter.
You are the
living
awesome ruler. Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man.
The
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you.
You were born
in a manger, but on a tree.
Amen. Praise God. Experiencing silence. In Psalms 46 and 10, in the New King James Version says, "Be still and know that I am God." The world seems to grow louder day by day, and our senses seems to be invaded at every turn. If we allow the distractions of a clamorous society to separate us from God's peace, we do ourselves a profound disservice. Our task as dutiful believers is to carve out moments of silence in a world filled with noise. If we are to maintain righteous minds and compassionate hearts, we must take time each day for prayer and for meditation. We must make ourselves still in the presence of our Creator. We must quiet our minds and our hearts so that we might sense God's will and His love. Has the busy pace of life robbed you of the peace that God has promised? If so, it's time to reorder your priorities and your life. Nothing is more important than the time you spend with your Heavenly Father. So be still and claim the inner peace that is found in the silence moments you spend with God. Let your loneliness be transformed into a holy aloneness. Sit still before the Lord. Remember Naomi's words to Ruth. Sit still, my daughter, until you see how the matter will fall. Praise be to God. Because Jesus Christ is our great high priest, not only can we approach God without a human go-between, we can also hear and learn from God in some sacred moments without one. In the soul searching of our heart lives, we are to stay quiet so we can hear Him say all that He wants to say to us in our hearts. It is in that stillness that the voice will be heard, the only voice in all the universe that speaks peace to the deepest part of us. Spend a few moments each day in silence. You owe it to your Creator and to yourself. Isaiah 41 and 1 tells us from the CSB, "Be silent before me." In Psalms 37 and 7 in the CSB, "Be silent before the Lord and wait expectantly for Him." And Psalm 62 and 1 in the New King James Version says, "Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation." And Psalm 62 and 5 in the New King James Version says, "My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him." Amen. Let us pray. Dear Lord, help me remember the importance of silence. Help me discover quiet moments throughout the day so that I can sense your presence and your love. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God. Ooh.
on the sea.
Trials and tribulations. But there one thing I come to know without a doubt is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always. When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair. Fall down on your knees, say help to save your feet. Cast your cares on Him, He'll supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, He'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and He will see you through. You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, He will say. God, and He'll show the way. Through all of your trials, you must trust and believe. I'm a witness that through faith and prayer, you shall receive. Through your faith, your eyes will be opened. Through the hope He is in the Father, He saved us for His own purpose.
And full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
He's the way maker. He's the burden bearer. He will lift you up and never.
Amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Just gotta wait. You gotta trust in him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time.
Oh, you can't hurry, God. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time.
Ooh.
God is the way maker.
Praise be to God. Gonna wait until my change come. At this time is for our lesson in basic theology with our very own Barbara Amore. Is gonna come with our lesson this evening, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Be to God. God bless you. How are you this evening?
Good evening, our blessed lady.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good evening, our blessed and highly favored. How you all doing?
Blessed, thank you.
Amen.
Doing good, thank you.
Wonderful. Amen. So we're going to get into prayer, and then we're going to get back to our lesson, the facts, the facets of man. Precious and Heavenly Father, dear God, it's once more and again a few of your humble servants come to say thank you. God, we thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for starting us on our way. We thank you for giving us strength for the struggle, for us seeing another day, a day we've never seen before. Father God, I thank you for everyone that's on this line, whether it's on the phone or on the internet. We thank you. Or in the archives, we thank you. Bless them, cover them, keep them, Father God, with your unconditional love, your grace, and your mercy. Father God, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. And I ask that you just continue to be who you are so that we can try to continue to be, not try, so that we can be who we are in you, Lord God. All these blessings I ask, and if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. I ask all these blessings in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're going to continue from our lesson talking about spirit, page 226. And just going to go over that one more time and then we get to the Pauline thoughts. Part B of spirit, it says spirit, ruach, and pneuma refers only to the immaterial part of man, unlike soul, which can denote the whole man, material and immaterial. Man is a soul, but man is not said to be a spirit. Is not said to be a spirit. He has a spirit, so there's a difference. The spirit originates from God, and all people have spirits, Numbers 16 and 22, Hebrews 12 and 9, we looked at that already. It is simply not biblical to talk of man not having a spirit until he receives the Holy Spirit at salvation. As a facet of the immaterial part of man, one spirit is the center of various traits, emotions, and activities. Some of these include thinking, remembering, Psalm 77 and 6, humility, Matthew 5 and 3, grief, Genesis 26 and 35, vexation, John 13, 21, jealousy, Numbers 5 and 14, haughtiness, Proverbs 16, 18, and contriteness, Psalms 34 and 18, because it may evince undesirable emotions. The spirit needs attention in the spiritual life, Psalms 51 and 10 and 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. And this is where we left off. Though soul and spirit can relate to the same activities as emotions, there does seem to be a distinction and contrast between soul and spirit in Pauline thought. This accounts for his emphasis on the spiritual and scriptures to follow. Is my volume okay? My sound okay?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to take a look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, 3 and 1, 18 and 45. Evangelist told that you would get that. Lady Nadine, Ephesians 1, 3, 5, 19, and Colossians 1, 9, 3, 16. All right,
okay.
First Corinthians 2 and 14.
Okay, 2 and 14 says, but people who aren't spiritual cannot receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they cannot understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means.
What do you think about that?
Awesome. Because if you're spiritual, then you understand what the Spirit is saying to you when you going the wrong way, or if it convicts you if you're doing something wrong. But if you're not spiritual, then you don't care what you do in some ways.
All right. Okay. 3:1, 1 Corinthians.
3:1 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, when I was with you, I could not talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life." Oh, wow. Okay. So if they were spiritual people, then they would understand what he is saying to them, and because they were not, then they could not understand what he was saying because they were like babies, like you have to, you know.
Right, so he had to talk to them as though they were children without any understanding.
Right.
Mm-hmm, babies, infants. And finally, 15 and 45.
15 and... Okay. 45 says, "The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit." So Adam didn't have a spirit until God breathed the breath of life into him. But
He didn't have a spirit?
The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person.
Right. So he didn't have life.
Oh, okay. My bad.
All right, so it was clay. He was dust. He was, you know, he was without a soul. And God blew into his nostrils the breath of life. They gave him life. Okay, Ephesians 1:3, and I'll get Colossians.
Ephesians 1:3. "Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ."
What does that mean?
With God. It's just giving us, you know, praising God for his spirit, for his Holy Spirit. I mean, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So it's you know, thanking God for the spirit, being blessed with the spirit.
Okay, and 5:19?
"Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and singing praises in your heart to the Lord." And, this is what we should be doing. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and singing praises in our heart to the Lord.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Colossians 1:9. Mine goes from 9 to 12, so I'll stop it. This is the message. It says, "Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and spirits attuned to his will and to acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. So this is Paul talking, and he's saying that be assured that when he first heard of them, he hasn't stopped praying for them, asking God to make them wise in spirits and in their minds and to tune their spirits to God's will so that we can get a strong understanding. They, but it refers to us, you know that, and understanding in the ways in which God works. And 3 and 16. Let the peace of Christ, this is starting at 15, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using common sense. And sing. Sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. All right, so that's the peace of Christ, keeping us attuned to one another and being blessed and happy and giving God the reign of the house. So if God is in control of the house, what does that mean?
He's in control of everything.
If he's in control of the house, what does that mean?
Thank you.
And the question is why? So when Paul, continuing, when Paul became a Christian, the experience of God in Christ became the determining factor, not only in his view of God, but in everything. Because Paul was a Jew, his attitude to God affected and determined all his thoughts. In Christian experience, psyche, the term for purely human vitality, became unimportant. The term for human vitality. Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A, the term that began with God but proceeded into man, became central. The infrequency of the use of psyche in Paul is the key to the trail. The infrequency of the use of psyche in Paul is the key to the understanding of it. Paul's knowledge of the Holy Spirit set the basis of his anthropology, and pneuma took the leading role. To sum up, spirit does not indicate the whole person, but the immaterial part with its various functions and feelings. In Pauline thought, it assumes prominence in relation to the spiritual life. Any thoughts about that?
I don't really understand it. I just need to go over it again. I'm not really getting that.
Over what?
The whole paragraph. Unless you can.
The intended part when Paul became a Christian?
Yeah, that whole paragraph.
Okay, when Paul became a Christian, the experience of God in Christ became the determining factor, not only in his view of God, but in everything. So what happened when Paul became a Christian?
When he became a Christian, everything changed, didn't it? His life, his way of living.
How did he become a Christian? You remember?
When he was, I don't want to say the wrong thing, when he was blinded on the road to Damascus.
Right, when he was knocked off of his beast.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard the voice of Jesus, and nobody else could hear it. Something was going on, but they didn't quite, you know, fathom what was happening. So Paul was a Jew. And because Paul was a Jew, his attitude to God affected and determined all his thoughts. So they thought differently from Christians. Mm-hmm. Which way was that? How did the Jews think about their attitude to God?
Basically with Paul is that, Paul was a devout Jew, and he was going about his way, following the laws of God. But the point was that he didn't accept Jesus. That's why God struck him down, because he was persecuting the Christians, even though in his thought process was he thought he was doing good. He thought he was doing a good thing.
Right.
Being a Jew, based on him following the laws and all of that, he thought he was doing a good thing persecuting the Christians. But once he was struck by the Lord, his whole perspective changed. And that's what the first sentence is basically saying, right?
Mm-hmm. When he lost his sight. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't eat or drink for 3 days, remember? He couldn't see, right. He couldn't eat or drink. So during that time, what do you think happened with him?
He was praying and meditating.
Yeah,
I would imagine so. And changing his mind about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Again, it was the voice of Jesus that he heard on the road to Damascus.
It was.
On his way to persecute more Jews who had become Christians.
Yes. Right.
He heard the voice of Jesus, and his attitude changed when he was blinded, couldn't eat, couldn't drink, and couldn't see. So this gave him a chance to meditate and to change his attitude and see that what he was thinking was not right.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't right to kill other Jews. So in Christian experience, psyche, the term for purely human vitality, became unimportant. Pneuma, the term that began with God but proceeded into man, became central. So what is psyche? In Christian experience, psyche, the term for purely human vitality, it meant nothing. And pneuma, the term that began with God but came into man, became central. All right? The infrequency of the use of psyche in Paul is the key to the understanding of it. Paul's knowledge of the Holy Spirit, and that was the Holy Spirit that spoke with him, right?
Right.
Because he couldn't see Jesus. Jesus had been gone for a number of years. He had been crucified and risen. He was not there, but his spirit was. So Paul's knowledge of the Holy Spirit set the basis of his anthropology, and pneuma took the leading role. Does that help a little bit? Nadine, does that help you a little bit?
It helped a lot. Thank you.
Okay, good. So to sum up, it's still not, 100%, but I'm glad that it did help you some. To sum up, the spirit does not indicate the whole person, but the immaterial part. What is the immaterial again? The immaterial part with various functions
is spiritual or not reverent.
No, that's the other, that's the obvious meaning. That's when we say it's immaterial, it's irrelevant, it means nothing. But that's not what it means in this.
Okay, does he understand?
It's very relevant. Okay.
What it is.
So in Pauline's thought, excuse me?
No, I said to go ahead.
Okay. So, and Pauline thought.
Mm-hmm.
One minute. Let me see if I have my notes over here. Should have them.
Should have had them close by. Sorry about that. But I don't see it, so we're going to go on. But it means the opposite of what you would think. Immaterial meaning unimportant, you know, negligible. This is something that is very important. Immaterial, something we cannot see. That's what that
is.
Intangible. You can't touch it. Okay? But it's very important. Okay, so to sum up, spirit does not indicate the whole person. But the immaterial part, with its various functions and feelings, in Pauline thought, it assumes prominence in relation to the spiritual life. Okay, now we're going to go on to part C, talking about the heart. What is the heart?
Wow. It's a part of the body that pumps the blood throughout the body that for you to live.
Mm-hmm. So,
but
if your heart stops beating, can you still live?
If the heart stopped beating?
Yeah.
No.
Can't live if your heart stops?
Unless you're living on a machine.
Okay, so yeah, if your heart stops, you can be on a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you can still live.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if your brain stops?
Well, once the brain stops, then you could. Can you still live even though the brain is dead?
Of course. Yeah.
No, that's when your brain's dead. That's when you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they take you off life support.
Well,
that's when
they
take
you off
life support. I didn't hear you.
I said there are people who are brain dead and they live very long while on life support. But yeah, so once they take them off life support, it's in the bedroom. It's in the room there. You know,
right.
Once they take them off the life support, they will die. Same thing like a heart. If you keep, you would have to keep somebody. You know, once you remove the machine, they're dead. So yeah.
Right. So when a person is dead, they pronounce them brain dead, as opposed to the heart. For many years, I believe it was taught that when the heart stops functioning, that's when you're dead. But not so. It's the brain. All right. So let's look at heart. Heart is a very comprehensive concept, Old and New Testament, used about 955 times. It stands for the center and seat of life, both physical and psychical. Only a relatively few occurrences refer to the physical organ. 2 Samuel 18:14 and 2 Kings 9:24. Evangelist Hilda gets 2 Samuel and Lady Nadine gets 2 Kings. I'll ask you to read it in a moment. The greater number use heart to denote the inner man, the essence of the many facets of his personality. So the heart denotes the inner man, the essence of the many facets of his personality, and there's something to follow. So when Jesus comes into us, how do they say he enters into us?
In our heart.
In our heart. He's knocking at the door of our heart.
Right.
And we have to let him in. We want to let him in, not have to. We want to let him in.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So that we can stay. We can serve him and, you know, do all those things that we do only through him.
Right.
Something at the door of our heart. All right, so Evangelist 2 Samuel 18 and 14, please, talking about the physical organ.
Enough of this nonsense. Joab said, Then he took three daggers and plunged them into Absalom's heart as he dangled, still alive, in the great tree.
Wow. So what happened?
Joab was heartless. He killed him. He stabbed him in three times in the heart.
Okay, but you remember what Absalom was doing also, right?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
he was killing, he wanted to take over the father's throne. So the king, he wanted to be king, so he killed
people. Who was his father?
Huh?
Who was his dad?
David.
Evangelist, okay. David, he's trying to kill his father.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to put a stop to that.
Yeah, but
didn't
he say not to kill him?
Then who say what?
Then David told Joab not to kill Absalom.
I don't know. Did he say that?
I'm asking the question.
I don't know. I said I don't know.
Okay.
Well, you have to read it. You have to. We have to go and read 2 Samuel chapter 18. That'll
right.
be the answer.
Right.
Okay.
So, 2 Kings 9:24. What you got?
Then Jehu drew his bow and shot Joram between his shoulders so that the arrow went out from his heart and he slumped down in his chariot. So these are examples of the physical organ, the heart.
Right. So again, death by way of the heart. Once it was pierced by, you know, the three stabbings and the arrow, I mean, that was the end. Okay? So let's take a look at 2 Samuel for homework, 2 Samuel 15. Okay?
Okay.
2 Samuel 15?
Find out what was being told.
18.
Well, we just went over. 2 Samuel 18.
To answer your question, Hilda.
Okay.
So the greater number use heart to denote the inner man, the essence of the many facets of his personality. Some of these include the following. Heart, number one, is the seat of intellectual life. It considers Deuteronomy 8:5. It obtains a knowledge of the word, Psalms 119:11, and it is the source of evil thoughts and actions. Matthew 15:19-20. It has thoughts and intentions. Hebrews 4:12. It can be deceitful. All right. So, evangelist, would you get Deuteronomy 8:5, Lady Nadine, Psalms 119:11, and I'll get Matthew 15:19-20. Ready?
Yes. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Amen.
What do you think about that?
Awesome. Because if we do something we're wrong and we have no business doing, of course we're going to be disciplined for it. So the same way that God, that our parents discipline us, so does God.
All right. Thank you. Psalms 119:11.
Okay, it's
obtained of words.
So it says, in my heart I have hidden your word so that I may not sin against you.
All right. What do you think about?
You know that the heart obtains knowledge of the word. So the word of God is in our hearts, or should be in our hearts.
Right. So once you study the word, you memorize it, right? If you study it, you memorize it, and you put it in your heart so that when the time arises for strength or for encouragement or just good thoughts, you memorize it, and so you can bring it back to your remembrance and quote it to somebody. You can help somebody when you have knowledge of the word. Amen? You can help somebody, including yourself. And then it is a source of people, thoughts, and actions. Matthew 15 and 19, which says, and it starts at 16, but anyway. Jesus replied, "You too? Are you being willfully stupid? Don't you know that anything that is swallowed works its way through the intestines and is finally defecated? But what comes out of the mouth gets its start in the heart. It's from the heart that we vomit up evil arguments, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, lies, and cussing. That's what pollutes. Eating or not eating certain foods, washing or not washing your hands, that's neither here nor there." Okay. All right. So it's what you, what is it? What you put into yourself. What you put into yourself is not what it is. If you eat with dirty hands, that's not the problem. It's what comes out of you.
That's right.
The problem, you know? So if you choose to eat with dirty hands, that's, you know, it's not clean. It's nasty. But that's not the polluting part. The polluting part is what comes out of the individual. The lies, the fornications, the murders, the adulteries, and the cussing. That pollutes. Amen. So we're going to go on to Hebrews 4 and 12, Evangelist, and then finally Jeremiah 17 and 9.
Four and 12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires."
And what is that that does that?
Our heart does well. It's our heart for God, you know. It's like our soul and spirit. You know what we put into, because we have to remember this body is not ours. It's a loan from God, and we have to take very good care of it, because what we put in it is what's going to come out of it.
So right now we're talking about the heart. So the heart is what you talked about, that's sharper than any two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. It cuts to the marrow and all of that, right?
Right.
Talking about the heart. Mm-hmm. And finally, it is deceitful.
It's the word of God.
It's the word of God that's the two-edged sword. It cuts through the heart. It's the word of God that cuts through the heart.
All right, thank you. So the word of God cuts through the heart. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And it has thoughts and intentions.
Right.
And so Jeremiah 17 and 9?
Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, "The heart is deceitful more than anything else, and it is disastrous. Who can understand it?" So,
what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, We know that our heart is deceitful. I mean, we're born as a, you know, just being the natural man without Christ, without the Holy Spirit, is deceitful. It's evil. But we are born into sin. We're born into sin.
Okay. Oh boy, it's right. So right. Nah.
So heart number two. Heart is the seat of the emotional life. First, the heart is the seat of intellectual life. So that refers to what?
Thought.
Your intellect, your mind, right? Your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And now, two, heart is the seat of the emotional life. It loves, Deuteronomy 6 and 5. Would you get that, Lady Nadine? And it produces self-reproach, Job 27 and 6. It rejoices and is glad, Psalms 104:15 and Isaiah 30 and 29. It can be sorrowful, Nehemiah 2 and 2, Romans 9 and 2. And it has desires. It can be bitter, Psalm 73:21. So first, Deuteronomy 6 and 5.
It loves. And you shall love Yahweh, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And I just want to make note to that, is that every time I see this scripture, it reminds me of the fact that this is the same exact command that Jesus gave. As the, you know, that was just the first commandment. And love your neighbor as you love yourself is what he added. But it, back in Deuteronomy, this was something that the Jews were supposed to do. This is something that the Jews were supposed to do at all times. And then Jesus committed this, and he added, and love your neighbor. Love yourself as you love your neighbor. So you see this exactly
love
the same
neighbor,
label
love
in
the
New Testament. Mm-hmm.
So that's also something else that's even more, this is found in Jeremiah, even more prominent than that. Where do we see that also?
You mean this scripture?
No, that same thought.
Oh, I just said the exact same scripture is in the New Testament.
And not the scripture, the thought.
The thought of loving the God with all your heart and all your mind.
No, the thought about loving your neighbor as you love yourself.
Oh, what do I think of that?
No, where does that also appear in the Bible if you can think of it?
Oh, it probably in Matthew. So I'm not sure. Because both of them are together. It's where Jesus gives you, he says, I give you two commands.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, this is the first command. And the second command, I think it's somewhere in Matthew, but I'm not sure. Where Jesus gives the command to love the Lord. The first command is to love the Lord. This one here, and the second command is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, this is in Matthew, I'm not sure.
Okay. So, let me see something. I'm looking at the Ten Commandments. That was my thought.
And I think it is the first commandment, right? To love your God.
No,
love
your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers what? 17? It's in Exodus. And it's in Numbers. So let me go back to Exodus. I don't see it. Exodus 21. Here it is, Exodus 20. And it says in part verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Okay.
It's in Mark 12, 30 and 31.
No, I'm looking at the Ten Commandments.
Okay, all right.
And all the people so okay. Thou should not cover the name of the Mishnah. So it's not there. It's not in the Ten Commandments.
Love your neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
You mean love your neighbor?
Yeah, you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's not in the Ten Commandments.
That's not in the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments talks about, you know, do not covet. The Ten Commandments breaks it down into more details about how to treat your neighbor. Like all the things that say do not commit adultery, do not commit.
That's the part that Jesus added when they say that Jesus added two more commandments, and that part is more than likely in Matthew. But it's not a part of the original Ten Commandments.
No, it's definitely not a part of the original. It's only
right, that's what I'm saying.
That is part of the Ten Commandments, and the only part that's in the Old Testament is the first commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus came, he added that last two. Love the Lord thy God.
Well,
What?
He gave two commandments. Jesus
That's
gave
what
two
I said.
Commandments. Right. To love the God with all your heart and all your soul. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right. Okay, so that was, again, not part of the original one, but he made it understood that if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, what?
You won't commit adultery. You won't try to hurt them. You won't try to kill them. You won't do any
right.
of the things.
You should treat everybody right. If you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you should treat everybody right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's go on. Heart is the seat of emotional, Deuteronomy 6 and 5. Job 27 and 6. Evangelist.
I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear for as long as I live. Amen.
Read that again.
Job 27 and 6. I will maintain my innocence without wavering. My conscience is clear for as long as I live.
Okay, thank you. So it produces self-reproach, which is what we saw in Job 27. What is that?
Well, he's saying that he will maintain his innocence, but...
Well, self is to blame yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So he is
he's not
doing
blaming
the
himself. He's not
right,
blaming
he's doing
himself. In the situation that he's going through, in his time of testing and being tortured and losing all of his possessions, his children, his 10 children, his cattle and his, you know, his wealth. He's not blaming himself for that.
Right. Because he hasn't done anything wrong. He's saying, I haven't done anything wrong.
And it rejoices and is glad. Psalms 104 and 15. Evangelist, would you get that? And Isaiah 30 and 29. Nadine, would you get that?
Yeah.
When you say, okay.
Psalms 104.
Psalms 104. Okay.
Psalms 104.
That's
Nehemiah 2. Mm-hmm. Okay. Psalms 104:15 says, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength.
Okay, and so all of that does what?
I'm trying to understand this one. You cause grass.
Let's read the one above it.
Yeah, you cause grass to grow for the life.
Yeah, we can understand you. You're reading to yourself. Read it so we can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength.
Does that enlighten you a little bit more?
No.
So with all those things that have to produce, excuse me?
I'm just saying we're looking at emotions, particularly at rejoicing and being glad. So the scripture is saying the things that make you glad. Like that wine makes you glad in the heart.
Yeah, if you drink it, I guess it would. So it rejoices that you're glad.
And oil to shine your faces. Right?
Your
skin is dry. Just put some oil on your skin.
Right. Right. And that makes the heart glad.
It makes the heart glad. Amen.
Isaiah 30 and 29.
Isaiah says, you shall have a song.
Still talking about
joy. You shall have a song. As in the night when a holy festival is kept and a gladness of heart, like one who goes with a flute to go to the mountains of Yahweh, to the rock of Israel. That brings you joy.
Okay. And it can be sorrowful. Nehemiah 2 and 2. And Evangelist, would you get Romans 9 and 2? I have
okay, Romans 9 and 2.
Nehemiah 2 says, it starts, at 2 and 3. That made me all the more agitated. I said, long live the king, and why shouldn't I be depressed when the city where all my family is buried, is in ruins, and the city gates have been reduced to cinders. And this is Nehemiah talking. Why shouldn't it make him agitated? This is bothering his heart. And it's hurting his emotions. All right? Because the country that he left, the country that was left, they were taken into captivity. And when he was allowed to go to Jerusalem, he saw that the wall had been burned down. And he was upset. He was agitated. It hurt his heart. This is where his people had lived. And this is what was left after the destruction, captivity of the people.
This scripture is before he got there. This scripture is him when he heard about the destruction.
Okay, so when he heard about it, he was agitated.
When he
same thing. He heard about it.
Right, and he went to the king because he was, you know, he was the taster. He was the, what do you call it? He's taster. He was the king's,
the cup bearer.
He would taste the food. Yeah, he was the cup bearer. So the king said to him, you know, why are you looking so sad? And that's
right.
when he said, because of what, you know, there's
what
nothing
he had
but
heard.
Sadness.
Right. So he had heard about it. He didn't see it yet, as you say.
Right. Yeah.
But he had heard about it, and this agitated him.
Mm-hmm.
It made him sorrowful. And he said, that made me all the more agitated. All right? When he heard about how his country was, even though he had never been there.
Well, I think the I think the Message Bible is saying agitated, which I don't think he was. He wasn't agitated. He was sorrowful and sad. There's a difference being agitated. Don't you think there's a difference between being agitated and sorrowful and sad?
Yeah, but he was still upset.
I know, but I'm just saying the way the Message Bible describes the emotion.
Yes, I understand
you. Know,
you.
It's not the same thing.
But it's still saying that he was not pleased with the situation. You know,
right.
It caused his conscience to fall, his face to feel very upset. Look sad, actually. In Romans 9:2, what's that?
9:2 says, my heart is filled with bitter and sorrow, unending grief. So he was saying that his heart is filled with a lot of bitterness and sorrow. Chico, be quiet. That, you know, he would, to save his people, he would gladly, you know, lay down his life for them.
So who's talking there?
Paul.
Okay. All right. It has desires. Nadine, Psalm 37:4, and it can be bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 73:21. Evangelist, would you get Psalm 73:21? So 37:4 verse, it has desires.
Take pleasure in Yahweh as well. And he will give you the request of your heart.
And what do you think?
Bitter. Oh, yeah.
What do you think about the design, what you just read?
Yeah, I think that we should, you know, that should be the desires of our heart, is to take pleasure in God. You know, just glorify him and praise him whenever, all the time.
Right.
This is like, as the praises go up, the blessings come down. And this is an example of that. Take pleasure in Yahweh as well, and he will give you the request of your heart. So that translates to, you know, as the blessings go up, the praises come down. As the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Okay. And finally, we're going to end here. Psalm 73:21.
Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was torn. Excuse me. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside.
Okay.
So that David saying, talking that his heart is all, he had in his heart?
I didn't check it out, but I think that's David. Yeah, Psalm 73.
Mm-hmm. No. This is being the temporary person. Asaph, a leader of one of the temple choirs. Oh, yeah, it's
These songs
celebrate the sovereignty of God, God's hand in history, God's faithfulness, and God's covenant with David. these psalms remind us that our worship should be continual. Okay. Kiko, please. Amen.
So we got to stop here at part three.
Mm-hmm.
It is the scene of the volitional life. And what is volitional?
I have no idea.
Okay, you know what your homework is. You're going to read 2 Samuel 15. Chapter 18.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And give us a little understanding of what you got from that. And any other questions before we close out?
Nope. I'm good.
Would you bring us in prayer, take us out in prayer, Lady Nadine?
Amen. Dear God, we just thank you and praise you, Lord God, again, Lord God, for another wonderful lesson, Lord God, in the Lord, Lord God, in you, Lord God. I thank you and I praise you for Sister Barbara. I thank you and I praise you for Sister Hilda, Lord God, and we just pray, Lord God, that for the increase, Lord God, that others would come on and get and hear this great stuff and be able to hear and understand, Lord God, and we just pray and ask you for that increase, Lord God. And Lord God, we thank you, we praise you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, for giving us the opportunity to be ever, just to be able to do this, Lord God. In your precious son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for that prayer on our behalf. Ladies, have a blessed and encouraging evening.
You
God
too.
Bless you. Thank
you.
Love you.
Amen.
Love you too.
See the next time.
Bye.
Amen.
Yeah.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Okay, wait. What you say homework was? That's not it. Oh, damn. Take on. I think it was 2 Samuel 18. Everybody in a hurry to get off. Just 8:03.